We're fighting for you. That's what Amazon told authors this week as the public battle between the retail giant and Hachette Book Group continued. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Jeremy Brisky, sitting in for Chris Keneally for Beyond the Book. In a post on Amazon's Kindle forums, the Seattle company says consumers should pay less for ebooks, and authors deserve a more sizable cut of the 70% of each sale that is currently paid out to publishers. Is this how Jeff Bezos really feels, or is it just another ploy to drive a wedge between traditional publishers and their authors? As we do every Friday, let's turn to Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly, for his take on the situation. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Jeremy.
So another week and another week in which Amazon tops the news. Tell us what's going on here.
Yeah, so this week, Amazon really sort of ramped up its PR attack and its Hachette standoff by supposedly stating its negotiating case to consumers in a blog post on their Kindle site. In that post, Amazon cited the need for lower ebook prices as a key objective in its ongoing dispute with Hachette and called ebook prices of $14.99 or more unjustifiably high. Now, that's not really the news here, because that's long been Amazon's position. And I will circle back to that in a minute. But the real news here was that Amazon basically called out Hachette, and by extension, all of the major publishers, for their low ebook royalties. In the post, Amazon said that it was perfectly happy with the 30% agency cut that it had been getting. Indeed, it was forced to get, they noted, when the publishers illegally colluded. Note the little jab there. But pricing really was the issue for Amazon here. They also proposed on the post that authors and publishers should split the remaining 70%. As our listeners know, right now, authors generally get about 25% of the publisher's 70% cut of ebook sales. So, you know, a few observations about the Amazon post. First, you know, this is clearly another PR stunt from Amazon. You know, note that this post made public on the Kindle site achieves two objectives. First, it reiterates the idea that Amazon is the party in this negotiation that wants to keep ebook prices to consumers low, while the publishers are the ones that want to keep them high. And second, it is perfectly timed, no accident, to counter Douglas Preston and Authors United, supposedly coming letter of opposition to Amazon. Essentially, Amazon is saying, we're fighting for you authors, not against you. But so why is this really a stunt, per se? Well, you know, as we've discussed on this show in the past, Amazon never reveals its negotiating details. But here we are, revealing negotiating details. And second, Amazon can't negotiate on behalf of authors. So I can't imagine why they're in the room saying, we're fine with our 30%, but you should split your 30% with the authors. It doesn't really strike me as a real negotiating position. And last, there's really nothing new here on the pricing front, because Amazon's position remains absolutely the same. Indeed, everything Amazon claims here about its $9.99 price is basically the position that it's long stated and stated on the stand in its price-fixing trial. So the question now is, you know, how this action is going to play out, whether this action by Amazon is going to bring a reaction from Hachette. And, you know, for that, you can, of course, read all about it on the Publishers Weekly website.
And speaking of the Apple price fixing trial, there was some news there as well this week regarding a potential settlement of damages. What's happening there?
Yes, so at a July 24th teleconference, Judge Denise Coates had expressed to the parties of the settlement that she had some concerns over the settlement that we, of course, have talked about on the show in the last couple of weeks. But in a letter filed on Wednesday with the court, the parties indicated that they're not going to be modifying the agreement for which they are now seeking preliminary approval. The parties had discussed the court's comments, they said, but ultimately decided they could not agree on how to amend the settlement, so they're just going ahead with the settlement. Now, this is an interesting development, but at this stage, you know, I really wouldn't make too much of it. At the July 24th teleconference with the parties, Coates reportedly raised concerns that there was no accommodation for interest if the case took a long time to sort out. It could be years, in fact, before it finally goes through the full appeal process. And in addition, she expressed concern with the amount of damages that Apple might pay if the case was remanded back to her over a minor issue. Now, as we've discussed on the show a few weeks ago, the settlement basically provides for $400 million to go to consumers if the finding against Apple is upheld. But if the decision is vacated and remanded to Coates for further proceedings, Apple's just going to pay $50 million. I think Judge Coates believes that Apple should pay a lot more than $50 million, and if by some chance she winds up with the case back to her, she's not going to be satisfied with just that amount of damages. Still, rejecting the proposed settlement at this stage would really be a stunning turn of events. Preliminary approval in settlements is generally a very low bar to clear. You know, the plaintiffs even noted that in their initial motion to have the settlement approved. So I don't expect Coe is going to reject the proposal at this stage, but she well might. At the very least, she's inviting critics to line up for the final approval process whenever that may happen. So watch this space.
And as the ebook battles continue, there's also some news on the library side of things in Monday's issue of PW. Tell us what we can look forward to there.
Yeah, sure. So on Monday, you know, first of all, we're going to have a full rundown on Comic-Con. So you don't want to miss that. We had a couple of reporters there, and it's a pretty great report. By all signs, Comic-Con was a great show in San Diego, and there's lots of highlights. But getting back to the library thing, yeah, there's a great column in Monday's issue by Peter Brantley this week on the advent of subscription models for ebooks. Now, a lot of people have wondered aloud what subscription access might mean for libraries if consumers can now suddenly access a large library of books via a low monthly fee. Are they going to turn away from libraries whose ebook access currently is marked by long waits on holds lists and pretty cumbersome borrowing software? So Brantley, who recently joined the New York Public Library, by the way, so let's say congrats to you on that, Peter, is actually pretty sanguine about the prospect for libraries in a subscription environment. And he has a really great idea. You know, if we're looking at commercial subscription services like Oyster, why not include libraries as a potential partner via some central library platform? You know, especially now that publishers are locked in a battle with Amazon, you know, working with libraries on a whole new ebook access model in terms of subscription could really help form a sort of publisher library bulwark against Amazon, which, you know, now in the subscription game in a big way with Kindle Unlimited. And I think he's right. I mean, does anyone believe that Scribd or Oyster are going to outgun Amazon if Amazon decides that ebook subscriptions is the way to go? I think libraries, in fact, have one of the only brands out there, if not the only brand out there, that can really compete with Amazon when it comes to reading. And libraries, unlike Amazon, are invested in the same enterprise as publishers, which is, of course, reading. You know, books are not loss leaders for libraries, and they'll never be treated as loss leaders for libraries. So the details of how that would actually work would have to be, you know, sort of hashed out, of course. But at the very least, I think it's a proposal worth considering. And in my personal opinion, it would be smart strategy. Publishers have kept libraries at arm's length in the ebook market for quite a bit of time now. But as the Hachette negotiation shows, I think they need all the help they can get against Amazon. So why not close ranks and bring the libraries in here? Certainly something worth considering.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think you're right. I think there are a few brands out there that are stronger than Amazon. But for many people, when they think of books and reading, the public library would certainly beat out Amazon in a public sentiment poll.
Seems like a natural fit to me to bring libraries in on this, you know, especially if we're talking about moving the commercial ebook model to subscription. I think it only makes sense to bring libraries into that discussion.
Makes sense. Well, Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly, we appreciate you joining us again this week on Beyond the Book.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. My name is Jeremy Brisky, sitting in for Chris Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.